taken against the against certain paragraphs of the Commission of Investigation report. In December of last year, the state settled 8 judicial review cases, and a declaration was granted stating that applicants were identifiable in particular paragraphs of the final report, and as such that they should have been provided with a draft of the report in accordance with the legislation that the report took place under, so that they could ask the Commission to correct statements within the report that they believed to be incorrect. And a key part of that settlement was that a written acknowledgement will now be published alongside the final report that states that a number of survivors do not accept the accounts given in the final report of as a reflection of their evidence to the Commission of the Investigation. Now, ever since the report was published, the government had recognised that there were survivors who were not happy with the Commission's findings in some areas and were not happy with their treatment of their own evidence. And I think we welcome the fact that this statement that is now laid beside the report formalises a recognition of the dissatisfaction of some survivors on that point. Look, we've always said it is important to look at the Commission report in its totality. Undoubtedly, that procedural failure to consult with individuals who are identifiable was regrettable. I would note that the Commission's report, it is more than 2,800 pages. It was the culmination of an 8-year investigation, and it has it's on the basis of the testimony of hundreds of individuals hundreds of thousands of pages of documentary evidence as well. But I think it is important that element of a recognition of the lived experience of survivors is important. And that forms part of the work that we're doing in the terms of the National Records and Memorial Centre that I mentioned earlier on. That is a physical building, but it will also allow space for a better articulation of the lived experiences of survivors as well. In terms of the legislation that I spoke about, and you're correct, concerns were raised by a number of special rapporteurs in terms of the 3 pieces of legislation. To speak first to the Institutional Payments Bill, and I suppose to say about this has not been passed by the Oireachtas yet. It underwent what we call pre-legislative scrutiny, where it is reviewed by an Oireachtas committee. That took place over the last number of months, and I expect to receive the pre-legislative scrutiny report from the Oireachtas committee, and it's hoped that we will introduce it into our national parliament probably in September when our Dáil reconvenes with a view to getting it passed and hopefully operational by the end of this year, so that people can start to benefit from its provisions. I think it is important to remember that as it's currently designed, it's designed to benefit 34,000 former residents of these institutions. Its overall value is €800 million, and it will provide financial payments, and it will also provide a range of medical cards to a group of those survivors. We will come back to you in writing in terms of the query, in terms of the waiver. In terms of the 2 other pieces of legislation, the Birth Information and Tracing Bill Act, was passed last week. It's now it's now in law. It has been commenced. Significant changes were made to it in the context as it went through the legislative process. It underwent 5 months of pre-legislative scrutiny. It underwent 30 hours of debate in our national parliament. So it was deeply scrutinised. Significant changes were made. But most importantly, every adopted person, every person who was subject to an illegal birth registration or who was boarded out, are entitled to their full records. No redactions, nothing held back. That's the first time in Irish law that provision is ever made, and that's very significant. We will be undertaking, basically from this week, a national information campaign, both nationally but also internationally as well, to tell both former residents who are residents as children, but also mothers, about how they can use this legislation. In the context of the right of mothers, mothers are already entitled to access all their information under GDPR, the General Data Protection Directive. I think not many people know of that right. So as part of the information campaign, we will notify mothers or parents, indeed fathers as well, of any right